Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. Jesus Christ is alive. I love how we start out the broadcast
yes.
with that so often, because that really is the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. We're coming out next month with a wonderful little CD called Proof.
Yeah.
And it answers the question, how do we know for sure? What is the evidence that gives us the confidence to say that Jesus Christ is alive? And certainly there is a lot of historical mm-hmm. evidence that is overwhelming as it relates to any of the other facts that are out there that we readily accept.
Yes.
But as far as Jesus is concerned, all the skeptics have us just, you know, crazily wondering, is it true? Could it not have really happened? But the fact remains that Jesus was raised from the dead, and there's so much significance to that event. I mean, it really changes everything, not only for the world, not only for the world system, not only for everlasting life, but for us here and now. And I'm going to reread what we read on Friday's broadcast, Romans chapter 1. A powerful, powerful passage about the resurrection of Jesus. It says this, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So Paul was a Judaizer, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a rising star in Judaism, and many were looking to him as the guy for the future to take the nation of Israel forward as far as their religious beliefs were concerned, but God had other purposes for him, and that purpose was to set him apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son. So what is the gospel of God? It is a message about Jesus.
Yes.
It's the good news about Jesus Christ, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David. We see those genealogies both in Matthew and Luke
mm-hmm.
That take us back to David. One takes us all the way back to Adam. Another one takes us back, I think, to Abraham. Could be further than that. But you see that bloodline. You see how God chose different people and how that bloodline just followed its way all
yeah.
the way up to Jesus.
And he covered it both through Joseph and through Mary. It's covered.
It is covered. Both sides of the mm-hmm. equation, so to speak. So as far as his human ancestry is concerned, he is the rightful heir to the throne
yes.
of David. But then, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. We know his origins are not earthly by nature. His origin is from above. I love in the gospel accounts where Jesus continually says, I'm not of this world. I'm from above. I came down. That's the incarnation, Jesus becoming one of us. And that truth, that reality was punched with an exclamation mark in resurrection.
Yes.
Jesus declared, or God, the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And everything in Christianity hinges on this fact. Without the resurrection, we're without hope. We're still dead in our sins. Our faith is futile. Our preaching would be in vain. The world is just lost. But with resurrection, everything changes. I love what Tim Keller had to say in his book, The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said?
Yes.
The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. As Paul wrote in this letter to the Romans, this is the exclamation point God saying to mankind that Jesus Christ is both Lord and God. Listen to him. This is the proof that we need. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We would love to hear from you on today's program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742.
Now, we've got an email question here that came in from the Philippines. It's one of our, undoubtedly, our oneplace.com contacts. I want to ask, what does it mean to surrender your life to Jesus? And if you are already a Christian and still struggling with your flesh, what should you do? Is there a possibility that God doesn't love me anymore because I continue to sin?
Wonderful question, and something that we all ask at some point in our lives. And I know there's probably many in our listening audience today struggling with that very issue. Does God not love me anymore because I continue to struggle with sin? Well, here's the reality, that when we come to Christ and are born again, that's a spiritual transaction. Our spirits, our human spirits, are quickened or made alive, and then they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So there's a union that takes place. God's spirit and our human spirits become one. That's sealed, and nothing can break that seal. Well, these souls of ours, meaning our mind, our emotions, our wills, they haven't been born again as of yet, but they're in the process of renewal.
Yes.
God renews our mind, and in renewing our mind, he aligns our thinking with his thinking.
Yes.
You know, when I'm born again of the Spirit of God, I can still have crazy thoughts. Mm-hmm. I used to really worry about myself when I would read the Bible or actually have a prayer, and zoom through my mind, yes, goes the dirtiest, most awful thoughts you could ever imagine. Uh-huh. And you say, how can that be? Well, it's just part of humanity. It's just part of who we are. We're in a world system that is anti-God. This flesh that we're housed in, so to speak, or that's still hanging on, is opposed to God, and they have influence into our mind. So these thoughts can just zoom in and out. It's seemingly just incredibly untimely times,
yes,
but it happens, but that's just the way it is. Then this flesh of ours, it still wants the things that it wanted before we came to know Christ.
Yes.
Flesh never changes. The nature of flesh never changes. And as a matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, it says that it continues to be corrupted. So the flesh gets worse over time, not better. And it gets even more creative at trying to pull us away from who we really are in Christ and our relationship with Christ. So we have to recognize that God loves us right in the midst of those times.
Yes.
You may be having your worst thought, worst desire. You may be struggling. You may have actually given in to a desire of the flesh. That does not change the love of God, nor does it change the work of Christ on your behalf. God sent Jesus to die for your sins. He died for everyone. He took those sins, all of them, all of your sins, past, present, and future, and placed them upon Jesus. And Jesus took the penalty, the punishment, the wrath of God for you for those particular sins. So you've been set free. As a result, there's no condemnation for you. And at your worst moment, as far as your ability to live the Christian life or living out the Christian life, you're failing, you're flat on your face, God's love is still right there. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. You cannot out-sin the grace of God. Some people are trying that.
Yes.
Some people are seeing if that is true. And what they're finding is you cannot outsin the grace of God. So it's important for us to know that. So if you're born again, you have a new identity, you're a child of God, and God is always going to look at you and call you a child of God. You may be struggling. You may be struggling with desires of the flesh. You may be struggling with the temptations of the world, but God is going to deal with you as a son. He is going to love you. He is going to encourage you. He is going to assure you, and then he is going to equip and empower you with the ability to say no because of the grace of God that's being poured out in your life. That's a powerful, powerful reality. If we will embrace it, we will start experiencing victory in our lives.
That's why this resurrection is so important. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we are dead in our sins. There is no forgiveness. There couldn't be any forgiveness, but he rose from the dead. And that's why we say everything in Christianity hangs from that central truth. Jesus died for my sins once for all. He was raised back to life to give me eternal life. Once that transaction has occurred in me, it's done. And we have to come to a conclusion about that. If Satan can't take us away from God, but he can fool us into taking our eyes off of Christ, and that's when we start struggling with sin.
Yes, indeed.
If we will keep our eyes on Christ, the completely victorious Christ, we will see life change happening. We will see certain sins falling off because we're too busy thinking about Jesus to get thinking about some of this other stuff. Let the Spirit do what the Spirit can do, and you will see that victory.
Yeah. And one of the things he was asking about is how do we surrender ourselves? And I think surrender is one of those attitudes of heart that says, you know, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a point of surrender in my life. I had tried to be God's guy. I did everything I knew to do to move me to that end. But the more I did, the further away from that goal I became. You know, that gulf, that gap just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's because I was approaching the Christian life from the wrong perspective. I thought Christianity was a self-improvement program. But that's not what it is. So when I finally came to a point where I said, I can't do this, you know, I surrendered. I basically said, I can't do this anymore. So I put my life into your hands. If anything good is going to happen in and through me, Lord, you have to be the source of it. And I think that's where all of us need to come at some point in life. We can call it a point of surrender, a point of letting go. You know, there's all ways to describe it, but it's really just saying, Lord, I am no longer in charge. I am no longer trying to do it through human effort. I'm no longer relying on my own understanding. My life is in your hands. And then, you know, from that point forward, what God is calling us to is to simply offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Work your life in and through me. It's all up to you. Not me.
Yeah, there's a great song being sung in a lot of churches these days. It came out in 2012. It's called I Surrender. And the first line of the chorus is the telling moment. I surrender. I want to know you more. There's the truth.
There's the truth right there. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We welcome you. 844-322-2742 is the number to call. 844-322-2742. Call us right now if you have a question on the Christian life or anything. We would love to talk to you if you have something on the resurrection. Please call right now, 844-322-2742. Want to remind our listeners that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported broadcast. We rely on the faithful gifts of our listeners to make this broadcast possible. And it's important that this clear teaching of the basic gospel of Jesus Christ continue to get out there. Why? Because there is so much confusion. There is so much noise, so much clutter, and it's hard to kind of hear what this message is all about in the midst of it. But here on this broadcast, it's one place. I'm not saying it's the only place, but it's one place where you can hear the gospel message proclaimed loud and clear in such a way that it makes a difference on a day-to-day life. So be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We would love to co-labor with you, to join forces. All the information on how you can become a Basic Gospel partner is at basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and follow all the information. And for joining with us this month, we have a fabulous resource that can help you in your daily walk with Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful book by our friend Andrew Farley called The Naked Gospel. So come join with us, make a contribution to Basic Gospel, and we'll put this in your hands as a way of saying thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to talk to Frank in New York. Hi, Frank.
Hey, hello, fellas. Thank you. God bless you. I would like to, Bob, address some of the objections that were made on Friday. I wasn't able to call on Friday regarding Mary and her place in salvation history. There's a few of them. The girl mentioned that Jesus was her firstborn, Mary's firstborn, but that doesn't mean there were other children. You could the firstborn child.
Well, there's no need to. I mean, I don't think we really need to rehash some of that. We know what you believe. You articulate the Catholic position extremely well, Frank, and that I love that you do so in such a way. We think the Word of God says differently, that Jesus did have brothers and sisters, or half brothers and half sisters. There are verses that seem abundantly clear. The one the lady mentioned on Friday was that, Joseph did not have intercourse with Mary until they did not know each other until after Jesus was born. So it's an implication that they had sexual intercourse afterwards, and I think the children are evidence of that.
Yes.
So you have the Catholic viewpoint that Mary remained a virgin. She remained in, quote, a state of grace, without the stain of sin from the beginning of her life to the end of her life. She was assumed into heaven. We don't really know how that happened, but that is the Catholic belief. It's based on, I believe, Luke 1:28, where Gabriel said to her, "You highly favored one," and you look at the underlying Greek and how that is constructed, and you come to the conclusion that that's a perpetual state, that she was in that perpetual state from the moment of her birth all the way through her death. Where you get that, you look at that verse, but there's also the oral traditions of the church, which you put on equal level with the Word of God. So that raised another question. Is the Word of God the standard of truth, or is there other extra-biblical resources that are of equal value, of equal importance, of equal authority? And the Catholic position is that you hold the traditions of the church and the Word of God on equal level.
Did I say something?
Well, let me ask, did I articulate that position fairly well?
Fairly well, Bob. You're correct as far as the Greek word that is used in Luke, where it's the Greek word, which is actually the word, is kakaritomine, and that is a perfect passive participle of the Greek word karituo, which means to fill or endow with grace.
Mm-hmm. And since it's only used one other time in the Bible. Not in that same form, but it's used in Ephesians 1:6, where it says that we have been made accepted in the Beloved. Same word.
Right.
Yes.
And also, it has nothing to do, the word daughter is not a highly favored daughter. The word daughter is not even in that word. And since this term is in the perfect tense and indicates a perfection of grace that is both intensive and extensive, full of grace is the way Jerome translated this, and that is the reason why we believe she's without sin. She did indeed need a savior, Bob, because but she has more reason to exult in her Savior than we do, because she was saved in a more excellent way than you and I. She was prevented from falling into her original sin. Now, you mentioned something about the other day about calling her a co-redemptrix. Let me explain what the church means by that. It's not a dogma, but sometimes they refer to Mary as a co-redemptrix. Co comes from the Latin word cum, which means with. And the trix at the end of that word refers to a female or a woman.
Yes, yes.
So the term means, literally means woman with the Redeemer. Now, why do they call her that? Because she was with him at his conception. She carried him for 9 months. She was with him. She was with him his entire life. And she even suffered with him at the cross interiorly, fulfilling Simeon's prophecy, and a sword will pierce your heart also.
Yeah.
And the church teaches that we're all co-redeemers and co-redemptrixes in Christ as Christians when we participate in the Great Commission and spread the gospel. Mary to a greater extent for obvious reasons.
Yeah. But there's something, you know, off-putting just for me, Frank. I'm just going to tell you how I respond. And this has nothing to do with anything that you're saying, but just that word. I mean, I was at the Garden of Gethsemane a number of years ago, and I just got this overwhelming sense that it was here that Jesus, that all of his disciples basically fled and went elsewhere, and Jesus stood there alone, and this overwhelming sense of the fact that Jesus did the work by himself. There was no one that could help him in regards to the will of God for mankind. It had to be carried out by Jesus. And there's this singular focus in the Word of God on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Every person, every character in this unfolding story always falls flat on their faces in worship of the Savior. And anytime I see the word co-redeemer or anything like that, it just does something to me inside. So that's what I'm saying to you, Frank, from just a personal story testimony. But
I understand. We are co-laborers with him. But you mentioned the other day about what the Reformers taught, and that just go by sola scriptura. I also want to address that.
Well, Frank, we're about out of time on today's broadcast. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, always an interesting discussion.
Yes.
with our friend Frank, and as I said, it brings up the point of how important it is for us to know that Jesus Christ is the good news, that God sent Jesus. Today is 3/16, March 16th, 3/16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That one verse centers everything upon Jesus Christ, the fact that God sent Jesus, and through Jesus we can have life everlasting. Why? Because that Jesus who died to take away our sins once and for all was raised to life, bodily raised. It is a resurrection that many have denied, have been skeptical of, but history shows that Jesus indeed is alive. And those of us who have encountered him by faith, who have been born again of the Spirit, know the reality of that resurrection in our lives today, and we have the ability to live in the power of that resurrection. When sin knocks on our door, when temptation comes our way, there's the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ available to us, in which we can say no to sin and yes to Jesus. That's why everything is about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thank you so much for being a part of today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you. If you have a comment or a question that you would like to send to us, send it to bob@basicgospel.net. We would love to hear from you. Well, for Richard and all the team, this is Bob Christopher saying so long until tomorrow.